It's Monday, September the 9th, 2013, and you've tuned in to Faith and Family. Couldn't think of two more important topics to talk about, the first being faith and the second being family, and then put those together. And what an important thing it is to talk about our families being the backbone of our lives and of society and, of course, of God's church. And so we're happy to welcome you to this show. I'm your host, Pastor Rod Zwanisser, still filling in for Andy Bates, new proud Papa Andy Bates, we must say. We're so happy for Andy and his wife, Lauren, Oscar Benjamin Bates. He sent us some pictures. You know, that's what proud parents do, show their kids off. So Andy and Lauren, if you're listening, we're so excited that baby boy, he just looks terrific. So enjoy them. They grow up so fast, let me tell you. I have grandkids now, and that's what I tell all new parents. Enjoy them while you can, because they are a blessing from God. We want to thank also our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin. And check out their website, cuw.org. And they are a magnificent place. So much going on there. You can take a virtual tour. They're located on the shores of Lake Michigan up there in the Milwaukee area. All kinds of programs. Great Christian school. And so we thank them immensely, and we ask you to check them out. You can also check them out on KFUOAM.org. Just look at the sponsor section at the top of the page on the right-hand side. You'll see a rolling, rotating view of our dear sponsors. And when CUW, Concordia University of Wisconsin, comes up, click on that or any of our others to check out our underwriters. And more importantly, when you talk to them or you take the initiative, call them, write them, thank them for supporting Worldwide KFUO. Now, we're a live call-in program, and so we'd like you, with your comments or questions about our topic or about faith and family, to call or email us in the St. Louis area, 314-821-0850, or worldwide, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us at kfuo@kfuo.org. This week, you know, so many people around the world, as I used to growing up, we always started the day after the Labor Day weekend. So a lot of people around the world are going back to school this time of the year. Some have gone back earlier. So we're going to do this week talk about some of those back-to-school topics. We're going to be having Friday, managing extracurricular activities. That seems to be one that, with a lot of families and their kids out of control, taking up too much time, wrong priorities. We're going to talk about that. On Thursday, we're going to talk about the importance of faith and family when your kids are off at campus. We're going to do that with Pastor Marcus Zill there at the University of Wyoming, my alma mater. He's also head of campus ministry for the Missouri Synod. Then, you know, a lot of times you struggle with changing routines this time of year. How do you get your kids to get to sleep at a proper time so they can wake up prepared to learn? I just heard the other day that I think it's the head of the Department of Education for the federal government is suggesting now some schools look at starting later because kids just aren't ready. And I'm saying, hey, kids and their parents ought to work on getting them some sleep then. That sounds to be a crisis, but whatever. And then tomorrow, parents and teacher communication. How vital is that? That parents and the teaching staff, that they talk regularly, faithfully, because both of their views on their kids are important. But today, we are kicking off with a real vital one, separation anxiety. When you have to see that kid go to school for the first time, you know, I'm thinking, I think it's Volvo commercial, where the dad is sitting there, this beautiful little girl, beautiful blonde, curly-head little girl that looks really anxious about waiting for the school bus, and the dad is noticing this, and then he's getting anxious. The bus pulls up and takes off, and so the dad gets in his Volvo, and he gets to wants to drive upside the bus and see how his daughter's doing, and he looks up, and she is laughing and having a good time with a classmate. But those anxieties can be real, and not just for the child, but for the parent also. So to help us talk about that, we have a licensed professional counselor, Janine Liebman. She's from Eureka, Missouri, the wife of a pastor, a certified counselor, and she has some expertise in anxiety. So welcome back to Faith and Family, Janine.
Thank you, Rod. It's good to be back.
And you were telling me before we went on, you have three children of your own.
Tell us
about your family and their ages.
Yes, we have three boys. My husband and I have three boys. Our oldest, Josh, is 19, and he is a sophomore at Truman State University in Kirksville.
Wow.
Our second is just about 16, and he is a sophomore at Eureka High School. And then our youngest is 12, and he's a sixth grader at St. Mark's Lutheran School.
So you've got them spread out.
Yeah, we do every 4 years.
A little bit experience for all the family, even maybe for the brothers when the first one went off to college. Kind of close, but still away, right?
Yeah, he's about 3.5 hours away, which is probably a pretty good distance because he can't come back all the time, which is good. But he's close enough that we can see him for a weekend if we need to.
And holidays, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Isn't too brutal a ride back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good. So please call us or email us if you have a question about this separation anxiety. It seems like there is possibly not many days that bring this dreaded anticipation of what's going to happen then when you drop that child off to somebody, be it preschool or kindergarten, for that day. Did you have any of that experience with any of your three, Janine?
Our three weren't really, they weren't really bad about this. They, pretty outgoing, you know, especially the younger ones were pretty eager, to get to school, and they had done some preschool, and it really helped too, because, where they went to preschool and kindergarten was where their dad was a pastor. And so they didn't really have to leave too far. Their dad could have checked on them at any time during the day. So that probably helped quite a bit. But no, we really didn't go through a lot of the struggles that I see parents have, you know, stories of crying and clinging and refusing to go to school. So we were pretty fortunate that way. We didn't have to deal with that.
Yeah, as a pastor with having a big preschool and, you know, kindergarten through eighth grade in our building, I saw and heard some of that. Mm-hmm. And that's so, and even we see that, Janine, I'm sure you've heard of that or experienced it in Sunday school, where there's anxiety too when even parents have to drop their kids off for Sunday school at a young age. And
right.
I think that is maybe even some why I know some choose not to have preschool Sunday school, because sometimes the kids at that age just aren't prepared to leave mom or dad or brother and sis.
Right, that is true. And I think probably most kids go through it at some point, whether it's real early on or as they get a little bit older. So eventually you're probably going to deal with it somewhere.
Yeah. I imagine it helps too, like in your case where as a mother, you would know that your kids are going to a good, safe place, a church school. Your husband's even the pastor there. You probably knew a lot of the staff. And so, and your husband is around at chapel and all the rest. So that probably took some of the anxiety away.
I'm sure that it did. Mm-hmm.
But you always probably were wondering, especially those first few weeks, how is my little Johnny or Susie doing?
Right.
Are they fitting in? Are they finding friends? Are they learning? Are they enjoying this?
Mm-hmm.
All those questions.
Right, definitely. And it doesn't change when they go off to high school, or especially when they leave for college. So,
yeah. Yeah. Trauma can be real. You know, and so to deny that is not healthy, probably for parents or a child or the teaching staff.
Not at all. And I think that's, you're bringing up a good point, is that separation anxiety, or just fear of the unknown, fear of certain situations, that's normal and everybody experiences that. And so I think it's important if you have a little one who is struggling and crying and saying they don't want to go to school, you as a parent need to validate that. Don't tell them, oh, stop, grow up. You need to just quit being anxious. That's not going to help. I think, you know, we as parents can validate our kids and explain to them, take that opportunity to explain to them, yes, you know what, I was scared too the first day I went to school or the first day I did this. And let them know that it's okay to be afraid. Let them know that it's okay to be a little worried and kind of talk them through how you dealt with it. That can be a wonderful starting point.
Wow. Now, I've heard that word from you counselors before, validation, yes. And I like that word. Mm-hmm. Maybe unload that a little bit, what you mean by validate your child and their emotions.
Sure. Well, our emotions just happen. It's not like we choose our emotions. And so to talk to your child as if they have a choice in how they're feeling or they shouldn't be feeling the way that they are doesn't really help the situation at all. Usually it just frustrates both of you and it often makes whatever they're feeling worse. And so to validate them means to, you don't necessarily have to say, you know what, you're absolutely right. This is a terrifying situation. You should be afraid. But you can simply say, you know what, I understand that this is how you're feeling and it makes sense to be feeling that way. Starting school is scary. That just they know that way that you understand, you're hearing them, and you're not arguing with them and telling them there's something wrong with them.
Or you're not angry with them that
exactly.
They're experiencing this emotion.
Exactly. That it's okay to be feeling this way.
I love that. And I was hoping that's what you meant by that. And also I think you said something really valuable to both parent and child. It's not like it's an emotional switch that you can flip on and flip off that easy, right?
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. When you've been angry or you've been sad or you're worried about something, it really is not helpful for someone to step in and say, stop feeling that way. You can't do it. We can't turn our emotions on a switch like that.
And then, as you expressed previously, when someone says that to you, even more anxiety, I think, is generated.
Absolutely.
That you feel like there's something wrong with me, that I'm having this emotion. I can't quite control it. I'd like to turn it off, but can't find the switch.
Exactly. And that's what feeds it and makes it much bigger than it needs to be.
Yeah. And so if mom or dad and the teaching staff also validate that emotion, does it start to create, especially with the teaching staff, a little rapport, a little trust that the child says, I think this adult is for me?
I think that it probably does, because what it does is it shows empathy. My teacher understands me. My parents understand me. We're all kind of on the same page here, and I'm not going to get in trouble for saying that I don't like this or I'm upset or I'm worried about this. So I think it starts to build that relationship.
You know, Janine, I was telling someone the other day that the first time in my life that I ever flipped that switch to go see a professional counselor, that was a tough day for me. Mm-hmm. Because I think I grew up in a time maybe where it was just starting to change, where people were realizing if you go to a professional counselor and talk about your emotional issues, you weren't weird.
Right.
You weren't ready for the nut house.
Mm-hmm.
That you just needed somebody to talk to. And I think what was so amazing for me is when, you know, the counselor said to me, hey, Rod, what's on your heart and mind? And I ventured out and said, okay, here's what it really is. And they said, you're not the Lone Ranger.
Yes.
And they said, hey, I've had this personally before, or a lot of people do. Rod, you're not abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, did that help.
It is.
Boy, did that help, doesn't it?
Yes.
And so I think with a child and a parent in this case, you're saying this is really pretty normal.
Absolutely.
And to be
normal.
Expected not to be mm-hmm. abnormal or something to be get greatly emotional about yourself and exaggerate the situation.
Exactly. I mean, if you think about it, all of us are a little nervous when we walk into a new setting, a new situation. And also, I think shyness isn't just an inborn temperamental quality. And some kids are just naturally more shy than others. So it's to be expected that some kids are going to be a little bit nervous and some kids are going to be very nervous about starting school. It's just part of life.
You know, this might be weird, but something that was flashing in my mind is my wife and I are both pet lovers. We've had dogs and cats all our life and just enjoyed them. And now that we're empty nest, we call them our kids. And I remember the first Sheltie, now we're into Shetland sheepdogs, that we took to obedience class, huge class, probably 35, 40 dogs. And our little Annie, the first night, she went under a chair where we were sitting and would not come out the entire 2 hours. And the head trainer came over and said, she's fine. Don't yell at her. Don't feel bad. The Shelties are a little emotional, and I think she's just going to be fine. And after 12 weeks, guess who won the entire class with 40 dogs? Our little shy Annie. And she told us, look at your little girl, how much she's grown. And I think humans, we're not saying they're like Shelties, but isn't that quite the same, Janine? Would you put any an analogy there that would work?
Well, I do like what you said, the trainer said that first night, which was, she's going to be okay. That's all right. And I think that that's the attitude that parents and teachers need to have with these little ones when they go and they're scared and they're afraid is, it's okay. You know, we've been here. I've gone through this and you're going to be fine. You just keep reinforcing that you're going to be fine. A loving but firm hand, because you don't want to give in to the anxiety too. Once you start giving in, it's very, very hard to turn that back around. So, remaining positive is so important for these kids.
Now, what would you say, and I imagine this does happen, if this behavior that intensely continued on for a number of school days, it starts to become a real issue, right?
It sure can, because it can just do so many things. It can harm them. I mean, number one, they're just not in school, so they're not learning the routine. They're not understanding what the teacher wants, which will only feed the anxiety and make it worse. Number two, and this is very real, what are their peers going to think? If there's one kid who comes in and cries every day or can't stay in school... and then I think you're also, if you have a situation where parents are constantly coming in and rescuing the child and, oh, okay, you don't have to go today, or we'll take you home. I think there's a place for that maybe once or twice, but I really wouldn't encourage setting that up as the way we're going to do things, because just like the analogy, you fall off a horse, you got to get back on. It's the same thing here. You have to get back to school. So,
Janine, do you think that the young child there maybe... unconsciously or consciously understands and senses the emotion of the parent?
Oh, I think...
And so that parent has a lot to do with how that child might react. Maybe not the first day, but maybe after a few days. That parent has got to get their act together emotionally for the child's sake and their own?
Absolutely, because say mom is now reacting, now your child's crying, so mom's getting teary and upset. If that goes on, the child starts to wonder what's really wrong. It must be a big deal if mom's crying about this, and then it becomes a bigger deal than it really is. So absolutely, as a parent, you kind of have to get control of your emotions. But you know, it can be a lot of different things could be going on. Sometimes you just have a little kid who's a little manipulative and they don't like the structure of school. They don't like the rules of school. They want what they want. And so you do hear sometimes about these kids who put on a big show for mom, and a couple of minutes after she's gone, they're fine.
They're fine, yeah.
So you really need to check with your teacher, child's teacher, and see what's going on, because if they're over it that quickly, then it's probably more of a manipulation.
Interesting what you're suggesting there, and that's one of the topics later on in our week about back to school is this parent-teacher communication. So the teacher can tell you, hey, 10 minutes after you walked away, the show was over, the kid was fine.
Exactly. So,
which ought to tell the parent that they're looking at your reaction.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So even if you have great anxiety, you need to temper it when you're around the child for the child's sake.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Parents have got to be in control of their own emotions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was thinking as we were embarking upon this, Janine, that is the better a child is prepared for that first day of separation, is that important in this equation?
I think it's very important, because honestly, the goal of parenting, the overall goal of parenting, is to teach them to become independent. So you have to start. You can't do this all at once. You can't baby your child up until the moment they leave for school and then leave them there and expect them to be able to handle their day on their own. So absolutely, you have to be preparing and planning for your children to leave you, whether it's for 6 hours a day or if it's, you know, when they go to college and they're gone for months at a time. You have to prepare for that.
Now, what would you recommend that the parents do to start this preparation to reduce this separation anxiety of school?
Well, I think gradual is kind of a key word. So you can, of course, you know, just start, you know, giving them some room and some independence and letting them, you know, if they're younger children, letting them go to a friend's house and play without you, or giving them some freedom so that they can go and do their own things and then come back. I think talking about school, most schools have some kind of either like our school has the teachers come and do a home visit, and they'll go through the day with the children so they know exactly what to expect. Or you can obviously go visit classrooms. So the more the kids know about what the day is going to look like and what their school will be like, I think the better prepared they're going to be.
I think you said something that's really interesting and helpful is the teacher visit, because then the child gets to understand who this adult is that's going to mm-hmm. be taking over. And I know a lot of teachers do a great job on those
yes.
home visits, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And they start to build a great relationship right away.
Mm-hmm.
And they know how to talk down at that child's level.
Right.
And so that would be, I think, really of great usefulness.
Mm-hmm. I do. We've loved our teachers' visits. So, mm-hmm.
So and then you said about this gradual training up the child to realize that, you know, you can go away and then come back
mm-hmm.
Is really important. So short visits to a friend's house for play or that, maybe mm-hmm. then even building up to an overnight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. So, you know, the kids get used to being, you know, a little bit more independent, making some more of their own decisions, and they're okay without you.
Maybe even then growing into maybe Sunday school, VBS,
mm-hmm.
Summer day camps, that kind of thing.
Right.
That would help immensely in building up this going away, but you still get to come home every day.
Right. And, you know, I know, too, our oldest, who's, you know, now in college, he went through the Boy Scouts, and they had these week-long trips where he would go without us. He did 11 days at Philmont in New Mexico. And honestly, I think those trips were wonderful to prepare him for that break at college then. You know, he really had to take care of himself for several days at a time. So, you know, absolutely, whatever you can do to help your kids become more independent.
You know, my parents tell this story before I went in kindergarten that I had a cousin that was like the sister that I've never had and really close to her. And so my parents thought it'd be really good if I tried an overnighter with them. And
mm-hmm.
they, at the time, I think they lived about 30 miles away. And so we went and they said I was fine for a couple hours. And then at dinner time, I just was beside myself. And I guess my aunt and uncle said, "What's wrong, Rod?" And I said, "I want to go home."
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't stop. And then they said, I went and got my jacket on. I was about 3 and stood by the door and would not stop crying and would just keep looking out
mm-hmm.
till mom and dad showed up. And they realized.
You weren't ready.
I wasn't ready.
Mm-mm.
And so my mom and dad said everybody was really good, including them, saying, "He's just not ready for it."
Right.
And they said about 6 months after that, I was,
mm-hmm.
and I did okay.
And sometimes kids just need time to develop. I mean, especially little boys tend to be a little bit behind girls. And so some, you know, sometimes you'll have a 5-year-old girl who's really ready to go to kindergarten, and sometimes
looking
a 5-year-old boy won't
right?
be. Absolutely. And, you know, there's no harm in waiting till they're ready
yeah.
to go.
Yeah. And then how about, and you've probably had this experience having 3 boys that, the younger ones, the pioneer is kind of probably the hardest because
mm-hmm.
he's not knowing what's coming his way.
Absolutely.
And neither are the parents, right? Everybody's
right.
a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the most difficult, would you say?
I hope so. I'm assuming it
and
is.
And then your 2 younger probably learned from the older one that
oh,
not
yes.
to fear it that much.
Right, right. And I think, you know, we did a lot of preparation for college, you know, really finding the right fit, the best place where we felt comfortable leaving him and he felt comfortable being. And he's had a very positive experience there. We're so happy with it. So I think that the brothers watching him and hearing how happy he is, I think that makes them more excited about it.
And maybe saying, "Hey, this going away mm-hmm. for the first time isn't that bad."
Exactly.
And it can be a good time. They hear the stories and
right.
Yeah. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, we are just starting on this topic, separation anxiety, sending your child away, or if you're the child going away to kindergarten or college. or maybe in boarding school for the first time. So come back with us, call in, email in. We'll give you that in just a minute. And we'll talk more about this topic here on Faith and Family. Stay with us.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I've long said government control over health care through Obamacare will result in fewer insured, not more. The backlash has already begun to take place. UPS announced it will not cover insurance costs for workers' spouses if they can get coverage somewhere else. In this case, it's about 15,000 people. Mega companies like Papa John's Pizza and Subway are looking at reducing employee hours under 30 so they won't be forced to pay for their insurance. Other entities and cities are doing the same. They already include Youngstown State University, Brevard County in Florida, the Fort Wayne School District in Indiana, and the list goes on. Obamacare will result in tens of millions more uninsured, those least likely to be able to afford it on their own.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Almost 3,000 Missourians are diagnosed with colorectal cancer each year. It's the second leading cause of cancer deaths in Missouri. Men and women are equally at risk, and African Americans are at even greater risk. The good news? It's preventable. If you're 50 or older, get screened. Screening can help find polyps that can be removed before they become cancerous. Colorectal cancer screening saves lives.
A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
In Philippians 2, St. Paul exhorts us, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Say what? Isn't salvation by God's grace, through faith, and not your own doing? Hi, I'm Randy Asbury. Tuesday on His Time, we'll ask, is St. Paul contradicting himself? What does he mean by work out your salvation? We'll also talk with Dr. John Eckrich from Grace Place.
Weekday mornings beginning at 7 a.m. on KFUO.
Hello, I'm Rod Zwanitzer, Director of Broadcast for KFUO. We totally depend on the gracious supporters who want this gospel voice to continue and expand as the messenger of good news of Christ. A wonderful part of this support is our underwriters, an ever-increasing number, and so we ask you to find out who they are by checking them out on our website or as you hear them here on KFUO. Write, call, or tell them how much you appreciate their support of Worldwide KFUO.
Syrian rebels led by Al-Qaeda-linked fighters have seized control of a predominantly Christian village northeast of Damascus, forcing hundreds of residents to flee, according to activists and locals. AP correspondent Jamal Halaby says the battle is over Malula, a village that's home to two of the oldest surviving monasteries in Syria.
This adds to the fears about the role which is being played by the Islamic extremists within the rebel ranks. It also adds a lot of fuel to the fears of the Christian community and its faith in Syria.
One resident reached by telephone said the rebels, shouting "God is great," attacked Christian homes and churches shortly after seizing the village. He asked, "Where is President Obama to see what has befallen us?" The prominence of Al-Qaeda-linked fighters has figured in the debate underway in the U.S. Congress over whether to launch military strikes against Syria in retaliation for an alleged chemical weapons attack last month. I'm Steve Coleman.
Prices are rising, the devil's to blame. Moving the mountain that got in the way. Prayer books and meetings to find a plan. Deciding the fate of the family of man.
Thanks for staying with us here on Faith and Family. Your host temporarily this week while Andy Bates enjoys his brand new son, Oscar, with brand new happy mom, Lauren. I hope it's all working out for you guys, not getting some sleep and starting to get a schedule. That's the most important thing in the early days of having kids. At least that's how I remember it. Some precious memories there. You know, some precious memories, too, about that first day at school, be it kindergarten or, you know, even when you move like we did to a new town and then you're faced with first day at a strange school, new school, mm-hmm. in a new town mm-hmm. can be tension and anxiety building, too. I remember even the first day of seminary, and I was a second career guy in my 30s, is a little tense, mm-hmm. Not knowing what it's going to be like. All those. So we're kind of finishing up on the prep for that. Janine Liebman is our guest, a mom, a licensed professional counselor, mother of three, and helps people through anxieties of all kind. So when you're doing as much preparation as you can, Janine, and then there's probably comes a point where you say, I've did all I can. We've got to go for this, yes. Relax, mm-hmm. Put it in God's hands, mm-hmm. And get out of the way, right?
Oh, absolutely. Especially when you're talking leaving your oldest at college for the first time.
Driving away, right? And
yes.
See him in the background.
Oh, it's such an overwhelming feeling of inadequacy, you know. Oh my goodness, we didn't teach him that. I don't know if he can handle this. And you do at some point just have to say, okay, God, it's in your hands. He's in your hands because I've done the best that I could.
Very good point. You know, I hope I don't tear up now, but I remember my dad told me when I went away to college, son, for the rest of your life, I want you to remember this. Every single night, your mom and I will be on our knees praying mm-hmm. for you and your brothers. Mm-hmm. At 11 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. All my life, I never forgot that. And you know what he was really saying to me, because I talked to him about that before the good Lord took him home, was, Rod, we want you to know how much we care for you, and we did the very best we can, mm-hmm. but all parents are inadequate. We feel inadequate, but God's not inadequate.
Right.
He's going to look after you, Rod. And mm-hmm. and I still think of that, right?
It's so comforting.
The Heavenly Father knows a lot more than, and with my own daughter, Janine, being so far away, they live in the state of Washington, I think that too.
Mm-hmm.
But God's got people all over the globe.
Right.
Worldwide KFUO.
Right.
And he can put people to intervene and even look after our precious ones, Candy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've really seen that too at Truman, where Joshua is. He's gotten connected with the Lutheran Student Fellowship, and it has been wonderful for him. His closest friends are in there. The pastor of the local Lutheran church interacts with the kids. They have a lot of activities. They have Bible studies. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing for him. We feel so much better knowing that he's part of that.
You know, as we said at the opener here, later on in the week, we're going to have Pastor Marcus Zill, a mm-hmm. Lutheran campus ministry, this great LCMSU thing they just started. And I know in talking with him, too, that they really appreciate when family and friends contact them and say, I've got a child at this college mm-hmm. that would, whether he wants it or not, have somebody call
right.
him up and let him know that we're here for him.
Yes.
That's a really a good move, isn't it?
It is. I think it is. Mm-hmm.
So, when your kids are at college or they're in kindergarten, how much do you check up on them?
Boy, that probably depends on how anxious of a parent you are.
Should you resist too much?
I absolutely think you should resist too much. You don't want to be the hovering parent who, you know, has to know every last detail. I mean, at some point, you just have to trust that the teachers and the school know what they're doing and that you've prepared your child, and you have to just let that go. You know, particularly at college, you know, we did not want to call too often because, number one, we didn't know when he would even be available, and we were hoping he would get involved in activities, and so he would be busy. But we just didn't. I think calling too much sends a message to your children that you don't really trust them, you know, that you think they still need you to check up on them. And I think they need that confidence from you saying, hey, you know what? I believe you can do it. I'm going to let you be on your own and you call me. Not that we never call him, but we really let our son call us more than we call him, because we want him to know that we are confident in him.
Yeah. And that's difficult sometimes, not to pick up the phone or text or just to let it happen from the other way around.
It is. And I, like I said, I wouldn't never contact him. I mean, I don't think that that's good, but I do try to give him that the ability to control that more, to say, you know what, I need to call you rather than, okay, mom's checking up on me again.
And I remember my dad telling me that at points it was really hard for him, especially not to intervene. He saw me going down paths that, you know, didn't want me really to. And he thought, but Rod, it'll be good for Rod if Rod kind of goes down and finds his way.
Right.
And I was so appreciative of that.
Well, yeah, you don't want to rescue your kids from every problem. And we were so impressed, too. Truman, their orientation for new freshmen, they had the parents and kids come down, and they intentionally separated the parents and the kids when it came time to selecting classes so that the kids got to select their classes. Parents didn't have any input. And it was kind of shocking as a parent to realize that's what they did. But I think that was the best for the kids. And they even told us, you know, parents, trust us. We know what we're doing. Your kids are ready for this. Back off a little bit. And that was really helpful.
Like with the kindergartner, is that a situation maybe where the parent can go more to the teacher and the teaching staff, where the kid doesn't realize and say, you know, how's my little one doing? Are they fitting in well? Do they have friends? All of that. Just to get some assurance that everything's going as well as it, because they got all the experience in the world, most of them.
Right. Yeah. And I do think absolutely talk to your child's teacher. Email, you know, is great because you can just do that. You don't have to worry about being overheard. But yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as a parent too, I want to know all those things. You know, are they fitting in? Are they struggling in some areas? Is there something we can do at home that can make, you know, help them a little bit more here? So, you know, absolutely. Go to your child's teacher. And I think most of them are probably pretty open to that.
Good, good. And now, how about if you're aware that maybe the kids are not doing really well with this separation anxiety, and the teacher and maybe even the child, you know, relates that to the parents. What do you recommend for the parents to do if that's still an issue?
Well, I think there's several things. Number one is if it's an ongoing thing, it's, you know, maybe past the first week or a couple weeks of school, and they're still showing some pretty significant signs of anxiety. Number one is I would, as a parent, go check out, figure out, is there something else going on? Maybe there's a reason they don't want to go to school. Maybe they're being bullied. And some kids are so sneaky about it that the teachers aren't even necessarily aware of it. Or sometimes you think the problem's at school, but maybe it's on the bus. So really do some checking and digging in and find out if there's another issue going on that's causing them not to want to go. One of the greatest resources I think you have as a parent is the school counselor. And certainly all public schools have counselors. I think more private schools are having some kind of counselor available. But go in and talk to that counselor. Find out what is the process. If my child is having a really rough day, what can they do? And a lot of times, you know, they'll work it out so that the kids can go directly to the counselor, talk with them for a few minutes, and they'll send them back into class. You know, I even have heard of a situation where a child is just having a really difficult time staying in class. And the counselor gave him emergency passes that he can use if he's just really having a hard time keeping it together. He just set the emergency pass down on the teacher's desk, doesn't have to say a word, and can go right to the counselor and talk to them for a little bit. So, you know, that gives them some control over the situation so they don't feel totally helpless. And then the counselor is equipped to help them get back into class.
And you know, so many of those counselors you're referring to are so good with kids. They develop great rapport and relationship. Mm-hmm. And so the child trusts that they can open up, and so they don't even have to express what's, you know, bothering them to the teacher. And
right.
And then if it's misused, the counselor are very adept, I would imagine.
They do see through it.
We've got to take away these emergency passes. You're manipulating me now.
Exactly.
And they're gonna help the child through that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do if your kindergartner or your college kid calls you up and said, I want out of here? Come pick me up. Or refuses to go back?
Right. Refuse. Yeah. That, And I think we referred a little bit to this earlier, is, you know, the more you allow your child to avoid the situation, the worse it'll be. It's totally normal to be nervous about new situations, totally expected, and, you know, people can deal with that. But what happens is when you allow yourself to avoid the situation, what you're doing is your head is just swirling with all these what if I can't stop crying? What if this doesn't get better? What if everybody looks at me like I'm a baby? And now you're worried about how worried you are. That's a whole nother level of anxiety. And so you really need to help your child overcome that. Again, normalize. You know what? It's okay to be nervous about going to school or this new situation. But we can't do things that make the anxiety worse, which would be avoiding the situation. So, you know, maybe if your child doesn't stop crying, they can't stop crying, you know, maybe that would warrant you go up to the school, you pull them away, but you help them get right back in as quickly as possible and say, you know what, we're going tomorrow morning. And maybe you do a gradual thing, you know, instead of riding the bus, maybe mom will take him to school, or maybe mom will walk him into this classroom instead of dropping him off at the door. But you know, some gradual steps. And once they get used to that first one, then you back off and give them a little bit more and a little bit more. And I tell the kids, you know what, we're going to work on this each day. Because the last thing you want is the child to learn that avoidance works, that, you know what, if I just avoid this, then that's the solution, because it really isn't. That just makes it so much harder.
Kind of affirming a game player tendency in some humans and trying to avoid that. Janine, I like what you were talking about, and possibly we might refer to it as unnecessary anxiety, where you're anxious about the anxiety, mm-hmm. where we could say, is this correct that as a parent and as a teacher, we could validate the normal emotions, mm-hmm. but not validate those emotions about the emotions?
Right. That's right. That's where the problems tend to come in. And that's where you really see more of disorders arise, anxiety disorders. And what you can do is you can do a few things with that. Really, again, help kids externalize. You know what? The anxiety is there. You don't have to do anything about it. When I work with younger kids, I kind of give them the verbal picture of, imagine a little annoying dog that just barks and barks and barks. And that's right next to you. And he's just next to you all the time. That's your anxiety. Put your anxiety. Your anxiety is that little dog. It's not you. It's not part of you. You don't have to get rid of it. You can go about your day even with that right there next to you. It's annoying, yes, but you can do what you need to do. And so kind of helps them externalize it,
yeah.
Put that outside of themselves. And then you can teach them some basic relaxation tools. You know, basically, the more you try to get rid of anxiety, the bigger it becomes.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So distracting your mind, focusing on something other than what you're worried about. So focusing on deep breathing, muscle relaxation can really help. Sometimes giving children an object that they can hang on to from home. You know, you see these little worry stones where they can rub them, or squishy balls where kids can just play with those with their hands. But anything to get them out of their heads and kind of focusing on what's around me, what's concrete, what can I feel, what can I see, what can I hear, that gets them out of those swirling thoughts that just tend to feed anxiety.
Yeah, and it is a snowballing tendency in a negative direction.
Absolutely.
And so I really like what you're suggesting there, that there's some ways to minimize that. And eventually, I think by that minimization, you kind of get rid of it. And it goes away on its own without even really trying.
Pretty
doesn't
much,
it?
Yeah.
It,
that's
kind of
the
isolate
idea.
It, externalize it. And it's mm-hmm. like the little dog, it'll get tired after a while and go away.
Exactly. Yeah. As long as you're not feeding it.
Very mm-hmm. good. Very good. When do you really suggest maybe that the parent has to really jump in seriously and rescue a child from their anxiety? I was thinking back, you know, that, and we haven't brought this up, but I know you do get some melancholy and some anxiety. I did, at least when I first started going away to college, when I would go home on vacation and then, mm-hmm. you know, get in the car and drive away. And it was like, oh, wow, you know, kind of miss home. Miss all the family, miss all the normal stuff. And then, you know, you see the city lights of your college town. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I'm good. It's all
right.
Gone, right?
Right.
And I think, is that a part of growing up where you realize you can't go home and see them, but you're not going to live there anymore?
Mm-hmm.
And for a kid, mm-hmm. maybe even younger, it's like, yeah, I'm going to go away to this school mm-hmm. for a few days and see my friends, and it's all going to be good. Mm-hmm. Whatever the kid likes are coloring, painting, music, storytelling, all the rest. And then I get to go home to mom and dad at a summer point. Is that kind of the preparation and the thing we want to help people move to at whatever age they maybe have some anxiety leaving home?
I think that's a very good idea, is to help them grasp and understand that it's okay to have two different worlds or two different, you know, lives. Because again, the goal of parenting is to help your child become independent. Of course, you want them attached to you, but you don't want them so attached to you that they can't function without you. So I really see what you're talking about. Our son, just as summer went on, got more and more down because he was really missing school, which was great. You know, yeah. He felt kind of bad to let us know that. He's like, Mom, it's
didn't
not
want to hurt you that I...
Exactly.
Wow.
But we said, no, this is how it's supposed to be. We want you to want to be back at school. You know, we get it. We know it's not anything that you don't love us, but you need to be here. And I like the idea of doing that younger, earlier on. Hey, you get to go to school and do all these really cool things, and then you can come home and tell us about them.
Yeah.
So kind of setting that up from the beginning.
You know, I saw something really neat right before we moved to these new studios, Janine, that in my office on the second floor, I had a window air conditioner, and this robin built a nest right there. And I could watch it. And all of a sudden, there's four beautiful baby blue eggs, and they hatched them. And so I'm watching this process, and I'm thinking that's the way my dad talked about. His job was to help us fly and eventually build our own nest somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would talk, that's his job, to teach us to find food and be safe and all the other things that mom and pop robins do.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, we're going to take this flight one day. And he said, you're not coming back to this nest except to visit.
Right.
And you can't visit that long.
Right.
and you know, I knew I was there. And he talked to me about one time where he said, you're ready to go back to your own nest, aren't you?
Mm.
And I said, yeah. And he said, I'm glad you said that because your mom and I are ready for you to leave too. And after a few days, we love you having them back for a few days.
Right.
But we're ready to get back to our own routines. Mm-hmm. Routines. And I think that's part of growing up, isn't it?
Oh, I do too.
And so even mm-hmm. school from the earliest days, preschool, kindergarten, it starts mm-hmm. us to prepare us for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think parents and students and staff as well can help that say, this is part of maturing, mm-hmm. that you learn to build lives and nests somewhere else.
Right.
And make your own calls. But you still have the love and care and concern
right.
of your home away from home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good picture with the bird nest.
If you've got some questions or comments, we still have time. 314-821-0850 in the St. Louis area. Worldwide, 800-730-2727. Or a quick email at kfuo@kfuo.org. How about parents helping other parents who are struggling with this separation anxiety?
I think it's wonderful to have a support group of parents. And I know as we were looking for colleges for our son, you know, I talked with other parents of kids his age, and we even did a college visit with some friends, and it was really nice to have other parents to talk to and to realize, I think you mentioned this way back at the beginning, just to hear that you're not the only one struggling with these and the mixed feelings of it. And as you mentioned, too, yes, parents are probably ready for their children to go off to school and leave home by the time they're 18 or 19. And you can feel bad about feeling that way, but it's totally normal. And it's the way it's supposed to be, because, you know, if you were heartbroken at the thought of them leaving, you'd never want to let them go. So I think it's a wonderful thing to have other parents that you can talk to. And, you know, also, I think it's important to know, too, when is this normal? You know, when are we just talking about normal stuff? And when is it kind of crossed the line into something that needs maybe a little bit more help? And I think that can be helpful in talking to other parents. You know, you can kind of realize, you know what, maybe my child's struggling a little bit more than everybody else. And maybe it's time for us to take that next step and do something more.
Yeah. And you know, maybe something that you brought up before can really be useful to people is we certainly mature at different rates mm-hmm. at different times. And so that has to be factored in.
It's very true. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes an unbiased view can help out with that.
Right. Absolutely. And I hear a lot. I mean, I see a lot of kids in my practice for anxiety issues. You know, there are certain times I think that you tend to see it more. Certainly, you know, kindergarten, first grade, and then again at middle school, and then again at high school. So again, any of those transition times. And it's just important, I think, one of the things to be looking for is if the kids aren't really able to function the way that they need to. So if they're not able to go to school or to stay in class, or if they're having trouble sleeping, they can't fall asleep at night, they're having trouble focusing and concentrating and not able to get their work done, they're crying, or if they're complaining a lot of headaches and stomach aches, that kind of stuff, those are all signs that maybe you know, you might want to talk to your school counselor or possibly come see a counselor outside of school and start working on some of those things. The good thing is that anxiety responds very well to counseling and therapy, so you know, it doesn't have to be a long-term deal. You know, you can kind of work through a lot of things in a relatively short time.
Would you say, Janine, in your experience too, that what a professional can really help with is to say, you're really not that abnormal?
Absolutely. I can't tell you how many times I've said, you're not crazy.
Not yet.
No, never said it yet. Yeah.
And you know, that I think that is so magnificent about professional counselors. And I would really say professional counselors, because they have the background plus the experience plus the network to really make that kind of a decision. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think, you know, since we're a faith and family, Satan, I think one of his best tools is to isolate us to say, you are so weird, mm-hmm. and you are so unusual. Don't yes. mention it to anybody.
Absolutely.
And you internalize it, mm-hmm. and say, I don't want to ever let anybody see that. But when you do, it's like, wow, why didn't I do it earlier?
Right. It's
and
so
find
freeing.
Out. Yeah, it is free. That's a good word. It is freeing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I like what you're suggesting here, that it, be it if you're a parent or a student and you're really struggling with all this stuff, or you see this symptomatic about your children, maybe that's the time to suggest, hey, let's find you somebody mm-hmm. that you can talk to and really find out what's behind this.
Absolutely.
It might be something that is worthy of you being anxious about, mm-hmm. or you can say, hey, we need to externalize it, get rid of this little puppy, and, mm-hmm. and eventually work to get it out of your life. And you're gonna love that you fought this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think a counselor is such a good ally.
Oh, absolutely. And I work with kids too a lot, where I'll see them maybe 3, 4, or 5 months, and then I won't see them for a year or two, and then they'll come back. And it's really nice that way, because they know me and they know that, oh, you know what, I can talk to Janine for a little bit, and they, you know, they don't feel so weird about it, and they don't have to start over from square one, and they just need a little bit of help to get through. And also, you know, what you need to realize too is if you're seeing some of these more significant signs of anxiety, like we talked about, often there's sometimes a family or hereditary part to that. Maybe they're seeing it in mom and dad, or maybe they've just kind of inherited some of that. And so good for them to realize, you know what, maybe this kind of anxiety is just going to pop up from time to time. I might just have that tendency. And this way I know I can go in, deal with it, and move on.
Would you say that in a lot of cases it would be good to, if you don't know a counselor, take them to a pastor that you trust? And if I know, as a pastor, I kept a real good stable of counselors who I trust. And if I saw something that I thought was necessary, that I could recommend one to the family and parents?
Absolutely. I personally get a lot of referrals from pastors. Also your pediatrician. I get a lot of referrals from doctors and pediatricians. So absolutely. Or sometimes your kids' teachers will know too.
Yeah, and suggest that.
Mm-hmm.
Janine Liebman, thank you for being such a great guest today. On the topic of separation anxiety as we send our children off to school, kindergarten, middle school, high school, college, seminary. So Lord's blessings, and we look forward maybe to having you back on tomorrow. Parent and teacher communication. Join us here on Faith and Family.